Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am, as always, profoundly, deeply grateful for your attentions on this very important March 19th, 2022. We're going to look at the word counseling. Every so often, I get an email about this. Maybe once every month or two. It's kind of interesting. People don't understand counseling. Anyway, I do a lot of counseling. A lot of my time, my daytime work is counseling. My middle of the morning, the deep morning work from, let's say, about 1 o'clock on in the morning is devoted to these podcasts and discourses, video casts, things like that. So when I get a chance to actually talk to my students or talk to people, it's always very wonderful for me. I really enjoy it. So what is counseling? What is it that I do and all of that? That's the main substance here of the questions I get. I want to say something. There is a stigma, I think, to many people about having counseling. And I don't see it as a time of correcting people, or trying to make them right. That's not the means of my heart. That's not the method of my way. I have found that counseling has a lot to do with how you deal with your life. And people have questions about it. And then once they get into an authentic spiritual practice, like the one I am offering, it becomes obvious. You need to talk about it. You need to talk about the pitfalls and things like that. So that's what I'm there for, is to help them with their practice of meditation, of maybe finding some kind of schedule or lifestyle change that they need. That's basically what I do. And it's very thorough. I give my students journal work to do at each quarter, and I get to listen to their answers and help them understand what's going on, because you have the collective unconscious, you've got the unconscious mind, you've got the conscious mind, you've got all of these factors of how aging is going on within a person, the change in their bodies, the change in their chemicals, in their brain, things like that. It's all there. And their past. A lot of it has to do with the past. So there you are. I have many, many things to help students with, and I do my very best to do so. And there are some people who understand the nature of counseling and don't bother with some kind of screwed up stigma that you're deeply messed up if you, I use that word because that's what people use, you're deeply confused and need help and all of that stuff. And that's not what I do, nor do I do psychological counseling or anything like that. Mine is strictly helping a person understand the nature of their consciousness and what's going on in an authentic spiritual practice. First question comes from Steve, and he lives in, where is this, Florida. He says, why do people need counseling with you? I listen to you occasionally, and I can't imagine what it is they would be seeking to get from you. Steve. Well, Steve, the whole effort is to awaken, and being in the process of spiritual awakening is not an easy thing to do. So people have questions about it, and they don't know how to change their lifestyle from a lifestyle of just being subservient to their emotionality, subservient to their thoughts, subservient to their body, and learning how to transcend, as it were, the reactions and the impulses that the human body is constantly pulsating into us through our human body, the chemicals. You need to read Robert Sapolsky's book, Behave. You can also see him on YouTube. And if you understand what he is talking about in that book, and I have read it almost 10 times now, every time I read it, there's something beautiful that he shares, something insightful. He's a very interesting man, very, very interesting, and really on the cutting edge of psychology. You begin to understand the nature of the mind and how we really don't have much of a choice of how to deal with ourselves based on what he is presenting. The chemicals in the body, the hormones, the, you know, there's a million things. The frontal lobe, I'm not going to get into the science of it. It would be ridiculous. But the whole idea is to understand, now get this, Steve, try to understand this, the futility of living from biology. That's the big one. And if you don't understand that, if you have not been, so to speak, convinced that nothing much is going to happen in your life based on the whole idea of the futility of your thinking and how you have lived your life from the human extremities of the body and how the brain kind of functions, you understand that it goes in cycles and circles and is subject to decay and disarray and all of that. If you don't understand all of that, if you don't get it, you will find yourself falling away from anything that would be, shall we say, substantial. Now, in spiritual work, actually, a lot of what I do in session work is introduce the authentic to a person. And when this happens, there's all sorts of pitfalls, Steve, that people fall into. Complacency, urges, fighting their impulses over silly things like what to do in any given situation, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, all of that. It's all out there, and it's all in you and in me. So to separate church from state is really what it's all about. To separate what it is that I am doing from the practice of conscious living, of living in a consciousness and living for wakefulness rather than survival is really what it's all about. And that's not an easy thing for people to do. So there has to be many life changes that have to be made, and habits have to be broken, yada, yada, yada. And I simply help them do that. And some really get involved in it and understand the blessing of it all, and others simply don't. And it just takes periods of time and practice and meditation. I give my students a rigorous schedule of meditations and things to do at each and every workshop, at each and every retreat. And they are to take it home and practice, and they need help. There are times when, you know, they just fall apart, just like anyone else. The human carcass and its impulses are not easy to overcome. And it takes a deep devotion and dedication to the practice of love to make everything meaningful and possible. So there you are. That's why they do counseling with me. I fortify their practice. I remind them of what is important. I deal with the things that most people simply consider non-existent. And with all of that being said, we move into retreats and workshops with a little more, shall we say, fervor and gusto and devotion. And that's what I do. And Steve, what I do is not for many people. I am not a person who worries about my popularity or whether or not people are interested. Most people aren't, and I am very, very grateful for the students I do have that choose to work on themselves. I hope you can understand that. And please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Nancy, and she lives in Oregon, and she talks about the podcasts and the radio program and the TV I've done and everything. And Nancy, I want to thank you. It was your kindness was overwhelming to me, and I want to thank you for being so generous with your words. And she wanted to know about counseling and workshops and retreats that I do, and how do they help people is what she asks. I don't know if my retreats and work help the people part of us. They help the transformational part, the part of you that seeks transformation, but I'm not so sure that it helps the human part. In fact, I would say human beings would find it very annoying, as I did when I was first beginning my practice in my work personally many, many years ago. And I kept it a secret. I didn't want anybody to know about it because it just would have confused the issue with people. People always find a way to convolute anything that is of a transitory nature. So I wouldn't say anything to people. I would sneak it in to my discourses and my workshop stuff and my my retreats. The reason you ask, why do people come to workshops and retreats? They come to move on in the progression of spiritual awakening. That's why they come. They have come to a point in their life where they realize the futility of living as they do in the humdrum of hate and fear and living beyond their genetic nature and their DNA. And it becomes clear to some people, not many, in my career, in my life, that the genetics and the DNA are not something you just saddle yourself with and live the rest of your life with in maybe protest or despair or in depression. It's something you have to practice diligently to move beyond, because since you were a child, you were touched by your parents in many, many different ways, and in some ways like just as a human being, and not to leave the ponderosa of the human beingness to stay, you know, the son, the daughter of, you know, in my case, it would have been Ed and Jean Penn, and that never appealed to me. There had to be something more. But that something more, really, Nancy, is something that the human mind cannot fathom. Many people sense that there's something more to their life, to their livingness, to the meaning of their existence. And then many more people just simply don't. And they just don't get it. They don't want it. So it's a really big process. And in counseling, what I do is I help explain that. But again, you have to be of a certain ilk to really understand what it means to awaken spiritually. And most people just want to survive and have a good time. So it's really not for the majority of people that I have met and known. It's for the small numbered people who seek something greater than the belief that they are stuck in this body, they're stuck with their behavior, they're stuck in their genetics, they're stuck in their DNA, and they just have to live it out. And that really would not be the truth, nor would it be anything that I would teach them. So in essence, to answer your question, how does it help? It depends on the person. It depends on what their motive is. It depends on what they are able to realize past their thoughts and their body. Okay? Well, that's it for today. I hope that explains everything. Probably doesn't everything, but it does give you a good overview. I'll be back tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.